Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hello there and welcome to the hosts of Westworld, a fan critical podcast. Today we're covering episode 7, the penultimate episode, Past Porn. So
not in that way.
No, not in that way.
Not what you're thinking.
No.
Maybe what
not,
John's
definitely
thinking.
Not what you're thinking, but it's always that with you, isn't it?
Ew.
Yes. I am once again joined by my fellow 3 Minute Men. So say hello, gents.
Hello, gents. Hello, gents. Oh.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, good. Classic banter.
So I think it's... normally I'd say, you know, how are you both? I won't do that this week. I am keen to find out your thoughts on a couple of bits of news that came out this week on Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
One being the renewal of season 4.
Yep.
Yay.
Yeah, in a way.
In a way.
And then the other bit that was our boy Ed. He's not very happy with the writing of his character this season.
No.
So let's get your thoughts on that.
All right. So the renewal is actually a bit late for the renewal. Usually the renewal happens quite early in the season. And I'm a bit surprised by it because of the ratings this season haven't been great. Have not been great. It's actually been down, I think, quite a lot on last season. And clearly, there is a vision for this show. I believe the original vision was 5 seasons. I think Nolan and Joy were talking about. So I think HBO are just going to commit to those 5 seasons, it seems, to tell this story. Which is interesting to me because what the hell is next season going to be? Next season could be like a giant war epic. Do you know what I mean? It could be very interesting.
That's probably where my interest lies the most, is that rather than kind of the ratings and everything, I'm just wondering what is happening with the narrative. Because yes, they have had a plan for 5 seasons, but I would have thought that Nolan and Joy at the start of this season were thinking, this is probably our last one. And they were probably looking to wrap things up this season, to wrap up the narrative. So, I mean, I'm sure they've got some other ideas, but it might have to diverge totally from where it's at the
divergence.
Moment.
Ooh,
which
divergence.
Wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. Yes, yes. On topic, wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing from my perspective, but more of that later.
Oh, and Ed Harris.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, Ed Harris slagging off his own character, the Mib. The legend that is.
Well, he said.
Yeah, go on.
He said, "I signed up to play the man in black, not the man in white."
Ooh.
So
he doesn't like being a good guy.
He's not a good guy, though, is he?
Doesn't like the clothes.
Doesn't like the clothes. Yeah, it's an interesting one with Mib's character.
Black
this
slimming
this season.
So.
I tell you what is annoying is like I actually quite like some of the stuff, and I like his journey throughout the 3 seasons so far, of like where his character's had the most range to sort of play in a way at times, and I just think this episode was a letdown for him. So I can see how he might be a bit shortchanged or feel shortchanged. I think him and Maeve have been actually very shortchanged this season, and their characters have been done a little bit dirty, as we like to say. I do think that he has the best line of the season in this episode, though. And we'll get on to that later. So he's got the best line. So if anything, best character.
Where's my hat?
Yeah, that's good. Now, typically, at this point, I would hand over to one of you guys to explain the blueberry scale. But
oh, blueberry.
Then you, you are chomping at the bit to give us a bit of feedback from one of our listeners.
Yeah.
So why don't we start with that, discuss that, and then we'll discuss the episode.
Yeah, sounds good. And you know, anyone can write into us. Just have to
hold on.
Write in.
Just sorry to interrupt you, but they'd better not be slagging off the blueberry system.
No one's slagging off the blueberry system. No one is slagging off the blueberry system.
Good. We'll just get that out of the way
whoa,
now.
Whoa,
slagging you off.
Whoa. Let us slag you off. No. No, so anyone can write in. You just have to email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. That is fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. And let us know your thoughts. And this season's been very interesting for us for many reasons. And I think it's because, in our opinion, the quality of the show isn't as good as it was. And I think that we, with a show like The Watchmen, and I'll get into this more when I've read the email, but we were able to sort of be a bit more free and easy because it was just brilliant stuff. And it was so mental.
Just chilling out.
Just chilling out, having a great time. Yeah. And this time we're trying to have a great time, but some of the decisions are dragging us down a little bit. But anyway, we've got a piece of feedback and I'm going to read it early because we've had a couple pieces of feedback like this season. I know that this might be a feeling amongst a couple of listeners. And I just wanted to read it out so we could talk about it and then move on. Okay, this is from Yorick right. Yorick Chapfallen is his name. So very good, love the name.
Okay,
hi guys.
Good.
I was watching. Yeah, name. Very good name. I was watching last week's Westworld episode, Decoherence, and I got to the point in the cold open where Maeve wakes up back in World War world again, and I groaned, actually groaned out loud, and thought to myself, Jesus Christ, the guys are going to hate this. So it made me laugh straight away because he was right. Almost ruined the whole episode for me. Why was I thinking that? What the hell is wrong with me? I listened to you three throughout all of Watchmen and had a great time, an absolute blast. I loved the show, you loved the show, and we just loved it together. A bunch of love all round. Beyond that, I really enjoyed your wit and repartee. I subscribed to your podcast thinking, I need more of this, please.
Talking about me, are
well,
they?
Probably not. So when Westworld Season 3 came out, I was thrilled that you were going to do a podcast for this one. But week after week now, I'm growing a little tired of your negativity. I realise that this isn't the same show that season one was. Clearly not at the same level of storytelling. But it's still a huge step up from most television these days. Come on, seriously, if you give any episode this season two bloobs, what would you give any episode of any season of CSI, how about Desperate Housewives, or the countless other American shows churning out crap week after week? One bloob, zero. Are you seriously suggesting that any Westworld Season 3 episode is at most only two blueberries up from that drivel? I'm all for criticism, and this season deserves plenty. I was highly critical of the genre drug scenes. I too was a little frustrated at the World War scenery appearing again last week, and some of the plot holes they're ignoring make me think this should have been a longer season. Like how do Bernard and Stubbs just keep appearing conveniently and all that sort of stuff. But there's criticism and then there's shitting all over every episode because it didn't live up to standards that are impossible to meet. There will never be another season one. You can't capture that lightning in a bottle twice. They've lost the newness of it all. They lost some of the things that made it special. The mystery of this world, the unknowns behind the unknowns. They killed off Anthony Hopkins, and you know you're never going to get a season one when you kill off someone like Anthony Hopkins. I prefer now to just enjoy the show for what it is, not what it isn't, while still recognising its flaw. Some of us in the podcast don't seem to be able to see past those flaws when you say you just don't care about it anymore. I start to feel that way myself and wonder why am I still listening, because I do still care about the show. Anyway, I hope you're all surviving the apocalypse. Stay safe, and I hope episode 7 is an improvement. Let's hope it's better for all of us. So I thought that was an interesting piece of feedback because there's several things going on there. And we feel it because we talk about this sort of stuff outside of the show, obviously. And I think it's fair to say that we're not as excited about Westworld as we are about Watchmen, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now, I also want to say that, you know, there's actually a very good canvas of opinions on this podcast because, you know, John, I know you're feeling a bit apathetic towards it, but you're also highly critical. And that is what we are. We are fan critical, and we need to look at things. And of course, naturally, we're going to compare it.
Clues in the title, so.
To other seasons. But there's a good canvassing of opinions. John, I worked this out. Your average score this season is 3 blueberries per episode. Gareth, yours is 3 and mine is 4. Now, that's pretty decent television. I think that's good scores, you know.
Is that a median?
Yeah, yeah.
You're using to find those averages?
I think so, Gareth. I'm not very good at maths, but I reckon it might be, yeah. So, you know, there's a good canvassing of opinions there. We're not saying it's terrible. We're just a bit disappointed that it's not lived up to the expectation. And I don't think we should excuse a show its flaws because, you know, we can't just accept that it's something different. You know, that's not true. Not all shows wilt away after their first season. Some get vastly better. Breaking Bad, The Wire,
yeah.
Game of Thrones, you know, improved before it, you know, receded a little bit. You know, these shows do have the ability to flourish and become something. We're just disappointed with what Westworld has become. That's not to say that we don't enjoy the episodes. I am actually enjoying a lot of the episodes. The average score is pretty good. I know that a lot of listeners are maybe a bit frustrated that we're not enjoying the season too much, but we can't lie. You know, we're not going to come on the show and lie. Like, if we feel a certain way about something, we're going to be honest. That's what we're here to do. We're here to review the show. There's a lot of reviews out there that share our opinions. You know, we'll talk about this episode in a minute, but that's been slammed online from what I've seen. So, you know, it's not just us. The show is on a downward trend. That's not to say it can't be resuscitated, but I thought I'd read that bit of feedback and what your guys' thoughts are on that bit of feedback, and then we can crack on with the episode.
Yeah, I think...
Go on, Gaz, I'll let you go first. There's
one point. Thanks, mate. There's just one point that I want to discuss, because I think it's a fair point, and it's something that we kind of debate a lot amongst ourselves, and this is the philosophical idea of the blueberry system and what... When you're rating something as a 2 blueberry, yeah, does that mean that it's half as good as a 4 blueberry episode and twice as good as a 1 blueberry?
A blueberry, like, episode.
I don't think... Yeah, all right. Yeah. I don't think that it works like that.
No, it doesn't.
That.
It doesn't.
I think you have to take every single bit of media that you consume on its own merits and within the realm and the set of circumstances in which you're seeing that... That's where the score is derived from, and I've seen some terrible things that, in all truth, when I've watched them, I'd probably give them a 2 bloob.
Yeah.
And I've seen some things that that maybe if I was to say, right, which one of those do I want to watch more again, I might pick one of them, but it would still get a 2 bloob. Yeah. It doesn't work quite in that.
It's not a simple scoring system. Like, it may be simple that there's no decimal points, but it doesn't mean that something is literally twice as good as something else. Like, it's not exactly how it works. You judge everything on its merit.
And a five blueberry isn't perfect.
No.
I don't think there's anything that could be perfect.
Exactly.
So I get the point, because we do debate it a lot and we discuss it and we try and pull it apart, but I don't think we can say, because we're giving episodes of this a 2 blueberry rating, that we think it's as good as episodes of Charmed, for example, that we might give a similar rating to.
Always having a go at Charmed.
We do on this show, yeah.
Look, I'm conscious of us going on about this for too long.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's some people that want to hear us rip this episode to shreds. So what I will say, there's a couple of things. And actually, it does depress me that someone that has enjoyed the journey with us in other series would suffer through this with us. I genuinely wish I could be the person that just watches the show and then listens to this. When we first started this podcast, one of the big issues that I had was this idea that, and look, you know, we'll be free about it. Me and Len, we fell out. And I specifically said, if I'm not allowed to say how I actually feel about something, I don't want to do this podcast.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, but I could understand the sentiment of, you know, you can't just shit all over everything. And I don't think I do.
No.
And for the most part, just to echo the point of, you know, Desperate Housewives and CSI, I don't watch those shows because I just don't have the time to watch dross. Or which I assume is dross. You know, some of it might be good.
Mm.
I could use the easy analogy to use would be, you get sport, right? I might use basketball as I don't know if they do ratings there in the newspaper or whatever. In fact, I'll use football because I can trust it.
Yeah.
So you've got like the Champions League where all the best teams play, and you'll get 11 versus 11, standard football game.
Soccer.
And you might have like one of the best players. You might have one of the best players in the world have an average game, and he get like a 7 out of 10. Now you'll go down to like League Two football, where someone will have an outstanding game and get like a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. But the level that he's playing at, if you took him and put him in the Champions League, he's like 4 out of 10.
Less.
Now or less than. So my expectations, our expectations of a group of this show are high.
Very high.
Which means that sometimes, you're right. You might look at it and go, well, how can you score this a 2 or 3? When there's stuff like fucking EastEnders or, you know...
Days of Our Lives.
Or don't any other go kind EastEnders, of soap, daytime dross. But and again, like if we were just scoring in that kind of crude way, then, all right, well, we'll just give every episode 5 out of 5 because, you know, it's better than what
90%
fucking
of TV
students can produce.
Yeah.
Scoring does not work like that. And ultimately... look, if we're a part of a network and the network were having a go at us saying, no, you can't say that because, you know, we're friends with the directors or the producers, we have to give it a 4 at least out of 5, then fine. But thankfully, we're a podcast where we control what we say. We control our feelings.
Apart from Len controls what we say.
I control you.
Yeah.
I've given John
this
script.
I can't wait to listen to this where it's like, yeah, this was a terrible episode. Yeah. I give it 4 out of 5 blues.
I do edit these, yeah.
So look, I get the point. And believe me, when look, I appreciate all feedback.
Yeah.
but if I'm disappointed in something, I will just say I'm disappointed in it. Doesn't mean that I'm just going to give up on the series. We have... It's worth noting, we have dumped other series at the beginning of a series. Like The Walking Dead, we made a concerted decision to go out of the 20, 30, 40 episodes we did, it was getting too difficult to do, so we dumped it.
Yeah.
And look, it might be that at the end of this series, we might not even necessarily come back for season 4.
Mm.
You know, that might be a decision, or individually we might make decisions to not come back for season 4. You know, Lucy decided to not come back for this series, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously she had a baby and that complicated things. So, but for now, we'll stick it out and we will score it exactly how we feel. And if that comes across as negative, then it's going to come across as negative, unfortunately. But, you know, the good thing is, if you want to listen to something that is going to delude you into believing that it's good, I'm sure you can listen to the official podcast if there is one. But... you know, I'm not going to apologise for feeling the way that I feel. And I'm not going to apologise for you guys feeling the way that you feel. And I'm not going to be annoyed with Len scoring something 4 out of 5. I'll have little
You will be annoyed at Len. Jokes. You absolutely will.
I will, but I'll message him outside of the pod.
Yeah, you fucking look, hack. That's the message
it is
I get
what
every
it
week.
Is.
Listen, mate, I think you've made a great point, but what I love is that you didn't take very long to make it. So.
Sorry.
No,
but... you know, that means that gives us, you know, very little time to blueberry the episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we start, we'll go Len second. Gaz, you go up first. What did you
think?
Right.
I'll keep it short. Much like myself.
self-banter. All
right. This episode had me very confused. I'll go into more details about that as we go through it, I'm sure. But for me, overall, there's too much exposition. There's too many big ideas. There's too much information to track. There are too many murky motives. And there are two blueberries for this episode.
Mm. Wow, that's a quick, short synopsis from Gareth. Can I chime in, John?
Go for it.
You know what? I actually really enjoyed this episode. Like last week, I'm going to give it four blueberries. I think there are things in here which are very interesting. I like the Caleb stuff. I like the fact that it's sort of been revealed Dolores, and we sort of knew this anyway, has been using Caleb in a way. And I like that setup for next week's episode. That sort of decision making that's going to have to be made feels very Black Mirror like to me. With what the decision that Caleb is going to have to make next week. I like the location. I like the sort of weird HAL, you know, from 2001 Space Odyssey style robot in Solomon, isn't it?
Solomon. Yeah,
I like that. I like the conversations that they have with this AI. I find that very interesting. So for me, it was a four. The Maeve and Dolores stuff doesn't really grab me the way I want it to. Like I said, I think Maeve's been a bit shortchanged. However, the action was far better this week in terms of their choreography, the set piece. I love the drone warfare. It's amazing stuff. So I'm going to give it a four. I did really enjoy this episode, and it's made me excited for the season finale.
Good.
Good. Well, look, I didn't enjoy this episode. I really didn't enjoy this episode. So I'm going to give it five bloobs. Yeah.
I've edited that in.
Look, I think there are a couple of there are a couple of things that you know. Look, we don't have a lot of time because we actually have to talk about the episode. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just another episode where I don't feel anything for any of the kind of moments that I should care about. I noted down it's an episode of reallys, whys, and who cares, sprinkled with some excellent. Production, which again, it's kind of like the one thing that I certainly will strongly agree with is that production wise, it's very difficult to not give Westworld high scores.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could argue that, I mean, that's just style over substance, isn't it? But hey, you know, at least it looks good.
Yeah.
I will say this. So Aaron Paul.
Yeah.
Who. In episode one, you know, I was digging his character Caleb, and I was digging him.
Mm.
He is not good in this episode. He is not good.
That's interesting.
It might be the direction, but I mean, in a series of fucking robots, his acting comes across as the most robotic yet. Some of his feeling. Some of these, like, anguish is just, like, it's just shit. Like, yeah. I was confused at points.
Yeah, the only part...
It kind of got me thinking, is there something beyond him? Like, is he acting in this way because he's so, like, disturbed? Or, I mean, maybe he is a fucking host. I don't know. But it came across as a bizarre performance in this episode.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Which is interesting because I thought he was all right. But I tell you what, I did. The only part of his performance that I thought was a bit bad was his voiceover delivery. I felt his... Because there's a lot of voiceover in this episode. I felt his voiceover was...
To explain the plot.
Yeah, but I felt it was so... like, because he's really good. Like, his VO is usually top-notch, like... He's such a great, got such a great voice. It's so memorable. I felt like those sequences dragged on a bit because of his voiceover. I felt he didn't really act well in that. But I thought the on-screen stuff was good. But, you know, that's opinions for you. You know, it's the way it goes.
Yeah, so, no, Len, look, that's fair enough. But I thought it was a terrible performance from him. Bearing in mind where he's been at in this season, like the genre stuff was not his fault. That's the direction of the episode. But yeah, so for me, it's another two bloob episode.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we should probably get on with recapping the episode and then diving into the Westworld wanderings. But before all of that, we're going to have a little advert.
For my kind, there was one place we were never allowed to go. One place we were never allowed to see. Your world.
Hello there, cheers, John. Fucking hell, cheer up, mate. Anyway, so a couple of things to plug. Had some really good feedback on our newest podcast series. How the fuck have you not seen that? First episode.
Who was involved in that?
Who knows? I've not listened to it. But but look, good feedback anyway.
Yeah.
I'm only joking. So it was obviously RoboCop. Mm-hmm. And Gaz, you'd finally seen RoboCop and you thought it was good. You gave it 4 bloobs, didn't you?
Excellent. Yeah. Great movie. Really good.
Yeah, so how the fuck can you give RoboCop 4 bloobs in this too? Unbelievable.
Because it's twice as good as this.
But are we going to preview the next episode? We will. So the next episode is Reservoir Dogs. Now, fucking Len, you've not seen Reservoir Dogs, have you?
Yeah, not in its entirety. I've only seen scenes on like YouTube and stuff, and occasionally when it's been on in the background.
Absolute scenes.
Why have you done
don't
that,
know, mate? Just
why have you searched on YouTube some scenes from Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah, show me some scenes.
That's a bizarre.
Video. So I am.
It'll be like Reservoir Dogs. Reservoir spelled incorrectly. Dogs ending.
Reservoir
Dogs with a Z.
It's on my watch list. I'm going to watch it tomorrow, and I think we're going to record that podcast this week, hopefully at some point, and that'll be out soon. So stay tuned for that one.
More plugging of Patreon, because that's where we get our money. We've just had a commission podcast.
Yeah,
just completed that.
Yeah,
that'll come out later this week. So World War Z,
good film.
Me and Emma went over that, and that was it's a good pod. I'll tell you why it's a good pod. Because Emma read the book as well as watched the film.
Yeah.
And it was good because the book has nothing to do with the film.
Yeah, it does.
So
it's mad.
Yeah?
It's mad. It's
nothing
mad.
To do with it.
And you know what?
What a waste of time that was. Ruined the entire structure of the podcast. But, so if you want to hear a car crash in the pod,
I'm looking forward to it.
Coming out later this week.
Here's our section on book differences. It goes on for 3 hours.
Yeah, so there's that. And obviously the Fan Critical channel, of course, you know, we're all still stuck in isolation. But look, we're going to be free soon. Before we are free, go and listen to the rest of our podcasts. You might be able to find some where we give stuff 5 bloobs.
Give a lot of...
So that'd be good, wouldn't
thing
it?
Is, and just echo this, we give a lot of stuff high scores. Like, you know, any of the Marvel films, they get a high score.
This again.
You know, I'm known as the hype man, so...
You just say any Marvel film. Yeah, just any Marvel film.
Pretty
5
much,
bloobs.
Pretty much. You know, I'm just saying, we score a lot of things highly. So, you know, we do cover a lot of good stuff.
Fact. We cover a lot of good stuff and we'll slag it all off.
And we're the best.
But
next.
Look, that's... We are the best.
We are the best.
Ist. But look, you know, that's enough pluggy. Let's go back to the pod.
Welcome to my world, mate.
What do you want from me, then?
Dolores. I want you to track her down and kill her.
Cheers, John. Too positive for me.
I want little John back.
John.
Guilty.
I think we all do. Yeah.
Guilty. Yeah. Would you like another Guinness, John?
He would be scoring this 7 bloobs.
He doesn't understand the system.
No, he doesn't. And a blueberry is massive to him. They're massive to him. How could he...
That's true.
They're so
how
big.
Probably kill 7? A piglet, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Probably poisonous.
Kill me.
But anyway. So we open with Mushashi, or Dolores, or Samaloris, I think is what we called her last week.
Samaloris is pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
Samaloris, yeah. Just chilling out with a Yakuza.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yep. Chilling. In Jakarta. In Jakarta
for some reason. Madness. Why have they gone to Jakarta? I don't mind that they've gone to Jakarta because I like seeing their new cityscape.
Yeah,
it's like it's good, but they're utterly pointless. Have they just gone? Have they just done that to be like, all right, let's get some Indonesian fans in?
Maybe.
Yeah, they're just sitting on Mars. Yeah, they're only doing that for the Mars audience. But so they get a call from. He gets a call from Hale, or she gets a call from Hale.
Yeah,
looking good.
Chloris.
All things considered, yeah. Mm. But she's obviously pissed off. She says she's going rogue.
I am furious.
I am absolutely furious, all right? So we then get the introduction of Clementine and do you remember the other one?
Yep, don't remember her name, but yeah.
Remember what her name was? Yeah, of course you don't.
The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Wu Shashi.
Yeah, Hannah Rio was her name.
Oh, nice.
So you remember her, come on. Yeah, so don't...
Yes.
So anyway, yes. So they kick some ass ass.
So,
go on.
I mean, this is my first... It's not a good start, but this was my first point of confusion. It's kind of hard to follow who's who. And, like, all right, yep, yeah, fine. This is Clementine and the tattoo lady.
Hannah Rio.
Hannah Rio. But what is it? Are they fighting for Dolores now? And so does that mean that Dolores is against Dolores? Yes, it does, I suppose.
Fighting for Maeve, aren't they? I think.
Yeah, I know, but...
He's talking about Hale.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But Hale's also involved now.
Yeah. So Hale's on Team Maeve.
No, well, is she or...
Yeah. Who knows?
Is Hale Team Maeve?
Anyway.
Well, she's Team Hale. She's Team Hale at the moment. But I think it interests her to align.
Team Hale is Team Hale.
Yeah.
So
I didn't mind the opening. Yeah,
Sam
Lawrence
ends up getting.
Yeah, that's fine.
Don't
that's
know
fine.
What's going it on, mate. Just... So anyway, Sam Lawrence gets decapitated. Bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, as I said, I like it. I like Clementine's reintroduction. She seems like a completely different character. I really enjoyed that. You know, they're the guns that were quite cool again in the briefcases. I love that sort of stuff.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the laptop gun from Perfect Dark.
Oh my god, that is exactly what I thought of as well.
That was my favourite gun.
What
I
a
love
gun.
That.
What a great gun.
Remember you could mount it on a wall as well.
Yeah, and have it remote, like a remote sentry. Yeah. So good.
Exactly.
Oh, loved
we
it.
Haven't got the time to discuss Perfect Dark. All right.
Well,
that's our next pod.
So we then get another flashback of Caleb and his best mate in the world ever. Francis.
BFF.
Yeah. Why?
Best friend
because
Francis.
That's why. All right. So don't. Yeah. More, if anything.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what, though. It would be good if we can see it 12 times in this episode.
Why didn't they do like high fives and stuff? Like really show them, maybe just on the sofa watching
like,
TV.
That's the thing. Like, if you did a little flashback of me and Len hanging out, how many high fives would be in that montage?
There'd be a lot of high fives. There would also just be more casual, like beer drinking and sort of jovial stuff. There was no banter, was there? It was a very banterless relationship.
It's totally banterless.
If they were like killing people and then cracking up and having banter, you'd probably... wouldn't side with Caleb.
Insurgent down.
High five.
We killed that insurgent.
His head came off. Yeah.
Give me five, dude.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, we've missed. So we're back in Westworld. No, we're not. We're not back in Westworld. But it's a nice reminder. You know, nice scenic views. And it, you know, it reminds us of how good the show once was. You know, season one, brilliant. So Dolores and Caleb on horseback, little casual discussion about the revolution, as you do. Dolores tells Caleb, you know, they're going to need someone to lead them. And he's like, look, you know, I'm just a construction worker, all right? So, yeah, he's still banging that drum. He's a bit past that now. But anyway, he then goes... he's like, where are you going? And the actual dialogue that takes place. The actual dialogue is, we're going to recover something valuable. Something that's been lost. Something that was taken from you. And then that's it. That's the end of the scene. And they just ride off.
Right.
What actually happens?
This
if you're Caleb
next...
at this point.
Yeah. No, I know, like, fill in the gap, right? Like, what happens next? This was my point two. I wrote a couple of notes as I was watching this episode, and the first four notes, and this is genuine, first four notes start with the word confused.
And so I'm confused about what exactly is Dolores suggesting to Caleb. No, I think that becomes a little bit more clear as the episode goes on. But at this point in the episode, it means nothing, and it means nothing to Caleb. And to say like, oh yeah, we're after something valuable and that, and it's been taken from you, and for him to just be like, oh okay, cool, well I'll help you shoot the people who are standing around in this base. Like, why is he blindly following her at this point?
I'm a bit
explain it to me, Ben.
There's nothing to explain here. I think there only being eight episodes is like maybe that is hurting the show a little bit because it has skipped over a few things. This scene did bother me, and it was one of the scenes that did actually bother me in the episode. I like the rest of the episode quite a lot. I'll tell you why this scene bothered me, because they have had a conversation off camera where she has either revealed to Caleb or Caleb has figured out that she is a host from Westworld. That has never been a conversation that we've seen. And here, says to her, oh, so you were in that Westworld massacre. Did you kill them all? Like, I know he saw her get shot. I know he saw her get shot, right? I get that completely. And she's like took that bullet in the genre episode and she was fine. He was high as a kite. Secondly, the next thing is, how has he put two and two together there and gone Westworld, Delos? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, there's no... That, for me, was a conversation that is a major revelation for Caleb to realise that she's a robot. She's a fucking robot and not this...
Don't worry about that.
That's a big conversation. So actually, the scene bothered me from that perspective because I felt robbed of a really interesting scene. It reminded me of a scene that we should have got in Game of Thrones. And I won't spoil it, but it's a scene where some information is finally told to someone... and you want to see the reaction of certain characters, and they cut it. They cut the reaction, and you've been waiting seasons and years for that. And it's that sort of thing. Like, that would have been a really interesting thing if he didn't know she was a host until, do you know what I mean? That for me was a problem. But let's move on from it. You know, the rest of the stuff all around it I didn't really take much notice of it because of that. It really stood out to me.
Yeah, I mean, considering that in the first episode, they make a point of him saying, I need something that's real.
Yeah, exactly.
The first person he bumps into is a fucking robot.
Exactly.
It's like, don't make it a thing then.
Yeah.
Like, don't...
Yeah. That.
Yeah, it's mental. That, like, were they on the plane and he just was charging herself up and he was like, oh, hold on, what's going on here?
What are you doing there? Charge.
Would have been a funny scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're charging yourself up. What's going on here? Oh, a robot, aren't I? of course you are.
Robot, innit?
Yeah, better. So anyway, they ride off, and you can just assume that, they've just ridden in silence for the next few hours.
Yeah.
They just go to this thing. Or would you be like, can you be more specific, please? Where are we going? Because this is a long journey on horseback. So if you could just quickly explain it, I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable.
Where are we going? What are we doing? Who has stolen something from me? What is it that they've stolen? How are we getting it back? Please answer those questions.
But even if this scene is like, well, we don't want to tell the viewers, we don't want to tell the audience what's going on, which is fine. Like, she could just turn to Caleb and say, we're going to see Solomon. And then it cuts away.
Yeah.
And then as a viewer, you're like, what the fuck is Solomon?
Yeah, that's interesting.
And then you just assume that... But then you just assume that Caleb is going to be up to speed by the time they're at the... Yeah, it's just like... But anyway, look, I'm not a showrunner. So we're going to stay with these two as they head to this high-tech facility. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It's only got six guards, but look, it's impressive, right? So anyway...
I think you find it's seven guards, so...
Oh, is it seven?
Four on the outside.
No, it's five, and then one more, isn't it?
Who knows? What I will say is the amount of guards.
There's one on the toilet.
The amount of guards is very interesting. It kind of plays into the fact that I think this is all part of Serac's plan. But the low levels of security, it just feels too easy for them to sort of be getting where they are and stuff like that. So that for me stood out. I love the tech. Love it. We need to get ourselves. Boys, we need to get ourselves some of this drone sniper action on COD, on Call of Duty, because we'd be cleaning up. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
I think I'd still die immediately, to be honest.
Well, you could control the little drone, John, and I'll do the shooting.
Yeah.
Well, what am I doing?
You're just sitting there with your finger up your bum as usual, just, what should I do? No, don't worry about it.
Yeah. In a flashback, fair. A flashback of you with your finger up your bum. And talking of flashbacks, we get more of them. So, but I'm not going to discuss them because at this point they mean fuck all and I'll come back to them at the end.
That's fair.
I will mention that we get the shot of Caleb and Francis in the warehouse with a guy with a bag on his head. Again.
Look, just as a question, be honest. Like, did you get tired of seeing this over and over again within this episode?
Because I definitely did.
I didn't get tired of it.
Four bloobs.
I didn't get tired of it. I
got very bored of it.
What I like is the subtle differences that they did with it later on, and I quite like that. To be honest with you, and I like this. I like what Caleb turned out to be. So, for me, it was fine. You know, wasn't amazing. It was fine.
Well, anyway, it turns out the guy who's got a bag on his head is the head of a pharma company. But again, we'll come back to that in a bit. Mm-hmm. So obviously, Dolores uses that drone. Very cool gun. I'll give that some mad props.
That gun is mental. It's going around corners, basically.
Yeah. That's a cheat, that, isn't it?
It's just cheating.
That seems like something you would get with a battle pass, but unfortunately it isn't. So,
well, I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Well, then they go into the facility, and there's just one more guard knocking about. She kills him just from the hip shot with a massive gun.
Yeah.
But she's a robot, cool, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's killed him and gone, yeah, there was one more. You were right. And it's like, is that a gag?
I think that's a gag.
She just killed someone in cold blood for a gag.
That's a gag,
Yes, joke.
That's jokey. Very hard to... I mean, fuck it, this guy's probably got a family, for fuck's sake.
She doesn't care about the human race.
What sort of a hero is this?
It's like that bit in Austin Powers when the henchman dies.
Yeah.
All of his mates upset. Yeah. So good.
Decapitated no by a mutated T-Bass. Oh, sorry. It's an ill-tempered mutated T-Bass.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus, you remember that very well.
Yeah. So anyway, Caleb learns more about his backstory. He's been here before. And this is where Caleb eventually learns of his reconditioning. We then meet Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
He's a funny little fella, isn't he?
Yeah, I really like him.
All right, guys, I'm Solomon. How are you doing?
What voice would you like me to use?
Could
you use that voice that could have been. Gareth just did? Yeah, no problem at all. I could do that. That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it?
Some people find this one comforting, so I do this one.
That's Rowan Atkinson. That's what I would pick.
Yeah.
The way he, like... enunciate to be hilarious
in the Mr. Bean voice or
so no Rowan Atkinson. If I wanted Mr. Bean, I'd ask for Mr. Bean.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway, so Solomon is the insane AI, to quote Caleb. Solomon seems happy to chat. Starts showing off in a way, doing voices and that. So arrogant. He dribbles out some like mumbo jumbo divergent scenario stuff. He then gets a little bit narky, doesn't he, with Dolores? Says, oh, you're the devil's product, we're not the same in any meaningful way.
Meow.
He's a bit meow.
He seems to not like anything to do with humans, in a way. He's like, you were designed to be like a human. We are. But then he also says that in a French accent. So he's like, you were designed to be like a human. I am nothing like you at all. Which is perfect, because that's what all French people say.
That is true.
Yeah.
If they just replaced the word human with English, it'd be absolutely spot on.
I really like Solomon. I'm fascinated by like AI.
What do you mean you really like him? Why?
I like the AI sort of. I like that we're finally getting to talk to one of these giant ball things. And like I said in the
always about that with you, isn't it?
And like I said in the classic at the top of the podcast, it reminded me of you know, Hal from Space Odyssey. And I'm fascinated to know what its motivations are as well. I just thought it was an interesting conversation to be having. Some of the more interesting conversations that we've had on the show, because you've got three different angles to the conversation. You've got Dolores with her motivations. It seems that Solomon also has his motivations or its motivations, and you got Caleb as a human, that we believe to be a human, with his motivations. So I'm very interested to see what comes of it all, basically. And it was good stuff.
I think the issue, though, if I start trying to work it out, it's going to make my brain explode. Like, so Solomon's predicting and coming up with all these different
futures,
tracks and futures, but then at the same time, Rehoboam's doing the same thing. So, like, what?
They both have the capacity.
Ooh, skip that.
First of all, we haven't heard from Rehoboam, so we don't know what's going on there. But we do know that Solomon is the version before Rehoboam and had many predictions. And the predictions are probably the same as Rehoboam's, but Solomon's, you know, is a bit insane or something. So he might, you know, push the agenda more towards a different sort of scenario, whereas Rehoboam was more controllable in theory and was able to push humanity to a more stable position. So I think the predictive stuff is still the same in both of the units. It's just the way in which they decide to push humanity, which is quite interesting to me as a concept. Skynet, you know, it's this AI complex thing.
But ultimately, we find out about the reconditioning of outliers, including Caleb. So I think we pretty much covered all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We then go back to Stubbs and Bernard. Now, I had high hopes for this, you know, buddy duo, cop duo. They've been a bit shit, haven't they?
I feel like they've been shortchanged a little bit. I mean, Bernard this season just feels very, like, I don't really know what's going on with where they're taking his character. That he's just filling in gaps, essentially, of story. Like, you know, he's not really doing anything. He's not really acting on his, ever since that episode before Genre, he's not been doing anything of his own volition. He's sort of doing things that Dolores wants him to do in a way. And Stubbs, you know, grows a bit of a spine in this episode and starts saying some stuff, which I liked. but then can I mention the Ed Harris line I really enjoyed, because I think it's this scene. Stubbs was like just fucking reeling off some stuff to the man in black, and he goes, "Don't you lecture me, you fucking can opener," or something like that. I thought that was really good.
I really enjoyed it.
That's all right. Cracked me up.
Yeah, but I guess I mean, he obviously finds out that Stubbs is
is
a host when Stubbs says that, you know, he's sticking with his own kind, and then he gives him a little very on the nose. It was quite to get Mib up to speed.
There was quite a good line from him there as well. We go fucking Ford like that, and I thought that was a good little throwaway line. Just acknowledging Anthony Hopkins once again.
Fucking so we find Anthony out Hopkins.
Yeah. How's Anthony Hopkins doing? Don't say that. That's not even in the script.
Wrong line.
So we find out Mib's been injected with a virus.
Yeah.
Which
we said last
week. Ultimately, the reason for that was to infiltrate the system.
Yeah, we said that last week. So that all checked out.
That was that protein thing.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I mean, fine. I guess that happened, but fine. All right, fine.
That's all fine. Track's good.
That's absolutely fine. Yeah, it's absolutely fine. Five bloobs. So the system is also showing Mib as deceased.
Yeah. What do you think of that? I just thought it was just a bit weird.
That's
it's also fine.
Oh, is he dead though? Is it because he's a host? Or?
No, it's none of that. It's not that garbage. It's just because they want him to.
Because he's a host, I've heard.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
So John, no, it's 'cause he's dead. This is where they start saying, they start explaining that all the outliers have been removed, right? Like, this is where they start that explanation. If all the outliers in society have been removed, then, or are in the process of being removed, then why is it that everybody that we saw when the data leak occurred seemed to be an outlier? It was all like, oh no, this person's absolutely shit, do not let them reproduce.
Yeah, that's control. They're not outliers. They're controllable. Like, they are people that can be controlled. Ugh. That makes sense.
They've been made into outliers, though. Like, yeah. That data leak would effectively turn.
Now, yeah, now it has, yes.
Know, thousands of people into outliers.
Agreed. Yeah. But before, they were controllable, whereas outliers, what they term as an outlier, are people who would act against the sort of system that was being created, whereas these people just meander through life, make shitty mistakes, and then kill themselves, or don't have kids, or whatever. You know, they're controllable. And that's an interesting thing about society. Like, there are people that are just sheep and will do whatever. You know, people who watch like Britain's Got Talent and that, and just clap like seals. That's fine. That's
what's good. Oh, that's like
you love Britain's Got Talent, Len. I know that for a fact.
Five blooms, man.
Oh.
That's a feel good show. I have a go at that.
Is it though? Is it?
Anyway. Oh well, yeah, it is. You get someone that comes out, you know, and you go, Jesus, this guy looks like a mess, and then they, you know, do a bit of opera.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fucking hell, fair play,
but
mate.
Then what about all the other poor bastards? That's the 1 in 100. What about the other 99 bastards that do look a mess and are a mess when they get on stage?
Well, yeah, but then they're like, look, you're a mess and everyone's going to laugh at you now, and now you're going to be a part of the outtakes and give you 50 quid. Sorted.
But John, but we're really proud that you did make the effort and go on the show.
Good effort.
So
good effort, mate.
You've got that.
Yeah, breakdancing is, look, it's a skill, right? And sometimes it goes wrong. So it's later revealed
how is he back?
carrying this podcast, mate. Looking very bad. But anyway, so it's later revealed that MIB sold the data to Serac. French fuck. No, you're right, but we do have to cover it. Or the French fuck, as MIB calls him. Which is fair enough. The end of the world came knocking and you let it in. Stubbs then finds that Caleb is on the list of outliers.
God.
Oh, haven't we seen this guy before? What's going on here? Who's this guy? He's like, yeah, he's part of the show as well. Go, oh, yeah, fair enough. Wasn't he in Breaking Bad? Don't say that. So that was a bit mad. We then we get another flashback. Because we need them. We need more flashbacks, if anything. And
thank goodness.
Ultimately, yeah. So Francis is dead. Caleb's upset. Blah, blah, blah. We find out, as if we didn't already know, that this is a false memory. Yeah? So don't
what?
Be too upset.
What?
I was like, oh, my when? Word. I can't believe it.
This is unbelievable information.
That is unbelievable. So Caleb finds out that he and Francis were outlier hunters.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. This is good
like
stuff.
Blade Runner.
This is good stuff.
It's sort of like Blade Runner in a way, but it isn't. This then ties into the warehouse where the captured farmer chief. He's an outlier. Look, they're all everyone, right? So don't. This then leads into the revelation that, you know, Caleb shot and killed his bestest friend ever.
Yeah, his best friend Francis.
In self-defense.
BFF, best friend Francis.
Because he turned on him immediately. Once he got a text saying, 50 quid to kill your mate, do now. reply Y or N.
It will only cost you $10 to kill your mate. Yes or no? Yes. To be honest, I'm sure
kill your friend for money, lol.
He was like, we have exchanged no high fives. I'm well up for doing this.
Yeah, it's not really.
But here's my issue with all of this. Right, I read a good description of this Caleb reveal, and I wonder whether you disagree with it. Then it was overly complicated and ultimately simplistic. I really like that as a description because I think that sums up.
Yeah,
exactly
it
how
is
I
quite simple. Yeah,
it
was quite simple, and but we didn't guess it. I mean, what I will say is,
well, we did last week, but yeah.
Well, what do you mean? We didn't say that he was an outlier who was hunting down other outliers and.
Well, no, but and that is exactly why this is overly complicated, is because it's this episode has to tell you Caleb was an outlier. Then it goes, oh, but by the way, this is what outliers are. And then it goes, that you know what outliers are, this is what Caleb does to outliers.
Yeah.
And also his memory was wiped.
Okay, so there's a couple of things here. I think it's actually a very interesting concept and clever. Like we said about how they sent outliers to war and stuff like that to use them in a way. And that's clever because they did technically do that. And we did stipulate that this Rico app, I think we've mentioned in a previous podcast, was potentially a tool that was created by Serac and whatnot to control the crime. So it's actually very interesting to me. And it's also referenced the fact that we've talked about the AR technology and how they literally took the situations he was in, like doing personal jobs in on the Rico app to get rid of outliers that he didn't know about. He was just doing jobs, you know, crime jobs. And they put that AR tech on it to make it seem like he was in Russia in his mind. Now, for me, that's all really interesting stuff. That's all really interesting stuff. I think it's very Black Mirror, and we've talked about Black Mirror quite a lot this season. It's very Black Mirror. And I think I like the reveal. Now, do I think it was done in the best way possible? No. Do I think that they could have made Francis more of a character that we give that we believe his relationship with Aaron Paul to be so fantastic? Yes, they could have done a much better job with Francis because why would you be mates with Francis? He seems so boring. Like, will you kill Francis? Yes, I will. That guy's done his dishwater, man.
been thinking about it for a while, to be
so
honest.
So yeah, that
you know they should have cast. You know they should have cast as Francis.
Walt.
Brian Cranston.
Yeah.
They should have done,
I knew you were going to say it.
Jesse, think about this, Jesse. Think.
Yeah.
But
it would have been brilliant.
But look, I like the reveal and I like what they're trying to do. Once again, the execution is just off. You know, your description, to be fair, was quite good, Gareth. It's not your description, so I'm not going to give you credit for it. But wherever you read that, it's pretty good.
So he did read it.
I read it.
Read it
in my diary. So
yeah. So there's also a bit where this farmer guy, who I didn't like anyway, a bit too sure of himself for me, but whatever. He decides that in the moment of this guy gunning down his mate,
that was mental. That
decides to go, "Hey, you're rich now, or
you're
some
rich
shit,
now, son."
You having a laugh?
You just made yourself a rich man, son.
Yeah,
that was.
So he's like, "All right, well, I'm definitely going to shoot you now." Like, yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
But we move on because we must and we should. It's worth noting that Dolores tells Caleb that this next stage of the revolution is up to him.
Yeah.
You know, he has a chance to alter humanity's scenario. He is the past pawn.
What?
So, you know,
so
he's good in that.
Yeah.
It's clever.
Yeah. Good that.
In a way.
Is it?
Yeah. I like
it.
No,
it isn't.
I like
it. You know. Look, the title, look, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine. I mean, it doesn't really make sense of everything else that Dolores has done, but hey, look, you know, it's fine. it makes absolutely no
Why
sense.
Does she
but
care?
That's fine. Why that's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I'm going to I'm going to ask this just in case there are any listeners who maybe feel the way that I do or are wondering the same questions that you two might be able to answer. Does Dolores now care about what happens to human beings?
No, Gareth, the whole point is that she...
Yes.
She wants them all to die, Gareth. But she's so evil as a character that does not believe that humanity should survive. She doesn't want to be the one to end humanity. She wants a human to do it because she believes that is the ultimate like slap in the face of humanity, to get a human to destroy humanity. And that is the situation here. Dolores has never cared. She doesn't care about Caleb. She chose Caleb. We always said this, that she chose to run into Caleb. Caleb is the perfect candidate for her to enact her evil plan. That is the situation. And that is the dilemma.
She chose to run into him, right? So don't...
That's quite good, that. I'll give this 4 blues.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is good. It is good. It is good because you yourself...
She chose to bleed out in the alleyway, right?
But what is good about that decision... And she did choose to do that, John. And what is good about that decision is... And what you've said, Gareth, is it worked because you are sitting there questioning Dolores' motivations up until the reveal at the end of this episode. So that is exactly what they want you to feel. They want you to feel like, oh, so Dolores is kind of cares about humanity a bit. No, she doesn't. It's all a big hoodwink.
No, I didn't think that. I thought this makes no sense. Why would Dolores care about
humanity?
Yeah,
it's a question. They made you question it, which is
well, it wasn't.
Anyway, I think it's good stuff.
Made me annoyed, but fine. Yeah, look, fair. Go on, carry on.
Anyway, so Maeve turns up. And she's what? Do you care about humanity now? And Dolores says, no. She goes, I'll tell you later. And they end up in a fight. ultimately. She's sacrificing herself for, you know, little fella, Caleb, for some reason. You know, who cares? But that makes sense because, you know, past the pawn. You know, sacrificing yourself for the little fella.
What?
Yeah, you should love that, shouldn't you? So anyway, I'll open up the discussion here because this is a fairly long scene of Maeve versus Dolores again. Overall thoughts on the fight?
Yeah, good fight.
I mean, Maeve's getting her ass handed to her again at the beginning. Yeah. I'm like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Why does she keep turning up and getting beaten up? Why does she keep turning up with a samurai sword as well? Mm. Like, rocket launcher. Fucking hell. It's mental. But anyway.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought the choreography was much better this week. I've pointed out at previous other points this season where the fight choreography has been very slow. I felt this worked much better. It felt a bit more visceral. I don't agree with these two being in this situation in a way. I don't buy it because my only question about it is, and I said this before, is if Maeve is going for Team Serac so she can reunite, get the info and reunite with her daughter, she's very smart, Maeve. Like, she's a smart character. She should be able to see that Serac is, as soon as he gets that data, he's not going to let them live peacefully. He's just going to terminate them all. So she should be in a position where she wants to defeat Serac, and maybe that is what she's doing. Who knows? Maybe she's going to get the information and do something interesting with it, and I hope that is the case. But I just don't buy them.
What do you mean? She's dead now. She's dead.
What do you mean she's dead? No, they're not dead.
She's
dead.
It's
an EMP, Gareth.
No, it's heartbreaking. it's heartbreaking, no,
dead,
mate.
Yeah.
She's dead.
An EMP.
Yeah.
Dead.
They're stunned.
Absolutely dead. So obviously, look, it's worth noting that this ends in a draw, because effectively, you know, Dolores, as Len said, activated the EMP, which kills everyone and everything. No, it doesn't. just deactivates everyone.
Yes.
Just another bit of a weird, another weird scene, isn't it? Where it's like, you know, they're playing it out as if
we care about
people
Dolores.
They're dead.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like as if we care. As if we care about what's going to happen here. There's even a point where Maeve's like, oh, you've died many times, but this will be your last. It's like, well, why would it? But it won't. It won't be her last. She'll get reactivated again. She's got Chalora still going.
Yeah, but that's
right,
not that's a different character.
A deviation of her personality, but it's still her core being. They've devalued death too much. They've devalued it
in
it's
a way.
A problem.
What I will say is, can we just talk about how it was awesome when they're having that
her
fight.
Arm got shot off.
It's unbelievable. I loved it. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I love this giant drone thing. I love that we've got giant drone versus mini drone. I love the fact that they're trying to both use the cover, and then she gets put out in the open and boom, her arm just goes off. That was brilliant stuff. That's what I meant. The whole fight
stuff
was
cool. I've read that Teddy's actually in the drone. You hear about that?
In the drone.
That's what I've heard.
Teddy drone.
Oh, I'm just saying. You know. Yeah, but look at the way it moves. That's how he would move if he was a drone. So,
good point.
So anyway, we go back to Mib. And look, the big revelation after last week is his big motivation. And that is that he needs to kill all the hosts. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So... okay. So nothing's happened with him this season. Nothing.
Not yet. Yeah. Let's see what happens next week.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I mean, he could turn up on like a giraffe, for and I'd still be like, "This is just so shit." Now,
elephant, if anything,
they should have killed him off last season. They should have killed him off last season.
Probably, yeah. Unless he's got some sort of, you never know what's going to happen next week's episode. Something might happen where we change our whole perspective on it. So I'm going to wait until the season's finished before I make judgment on that. I do like the stuff, the idea of him being taken from this powerful position in society and taken down to being an outlier. That's fascinating to me. I just think the execution was a bit off. But yeah, the stuff here where he tells Stubbs and Bernard he's going to kill all the hosts, and then Stubbs goes, "Should I, boss?" And then Bernard goes, "We might need him." I was just like, well, obviously. But anyway.
Well,
you know, what happens is... I'm going to kill you. So kill me now, or I will kill you soon.
Yeah. Should we kill him? And 5 minutes later, that's exactly what happens. Because I'm just going to go for a piss. Is that right? And they go, yeah,
that's absolutely fine, mate.
It's absolutely fine. It'd be fine. He walks off, comes back with some sort of shotgun, machine gun thing. And it's like, of course he has. I mean, he spotted it on the floor in their view. Yeah. Like, he would have to have gone over there and picked it up in front of them. There's also, there was one point that someone made, and I forgot to mention it earlier. but for most of the episode, Stubbs has got a gun on Mib. Now, Mib's unarmed and he's an old man, whereas Stubbs is a giant robot. Like, why has he got a gun?
Ouch, giant. Are you just saying because he's put on some weight in the off-season? Like, that's harsh, right?
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. Yeah, burly. But he is, isn't he? Like, he would beat him up. So why has he got a gun on him?
Well, just in case, mate.
Because he's a wily
Never underestimate anyone, mate. Just in case. That's why you would be a terrible kidnapper, because you just underestimate people. You know,
there you go, Burn. You'd be a shit kidnapper.
You'd get John would just get bored of it.
Not are you going to live with that?
Yeah, not because of my empathy and my morality.
You have zero empathy, and your morality is one of the lowest I've seen in a human being. So, what are we on?
Your morality is in negative figures. To be fair,
mental. So, what are you talking about?
Empathy's at zero. Morality is minus.
But I've been watching flashbacks of myself be a superhero, so I'm convinced that is me.
Who was your best mate?
So anyway, so Bernard somehow works out Dolores' plan and explains to the audience and Gaz that
Gaz is sitting there going, "I don't get it. Like, what do you mean?"
Yeah, the stuff.
To be fair, even at this point, I was like, "Yeah, but what?"
Why?
Just fucking, if she wants to destroy humanity, just fucking do it. Like, she doesn't.
She's sadistic, Gareth.
It's very Bond villain. Yeah, very Bond villain. Like,
it's sadistic. It's like, it's the fact that she hasn't put the nail in the coffin, that humanity killed itself, and that is for her the revenge that she's always wanted because of the way she's been treated by humanity. You know, it's. It's deep, mate. It's deep stuff. I like it.
Look, it's good. It's really good. Right? It's brilliant.
I'm not impressed.
We end on Caleb. He's slow walking with instructions from Solomon on how to end this. And that's it. That's where the episode ends.
I must warn you.
Yeah.
It's...
Oh, actually, don't... And then he just cuts off, yeah. Sorry, that's the wrong one.
And just one more thing.
Can you get me a glass of water? Yeah, so... And then that's it.
Well, we talked about water last... Remember water last week? You know, glass of water. If I had a...
Well, only one glass. Yeah. It's not that mental. But that's it. That's the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. That's the end of our recap.
Yeah.
And normally I'd say, have you got anything else to add? But we're running long.
We are.
So
no.
I'm now going to hand over to Len for our penultimate Westworld Wanderings.
Hello, yes, welcome to Westworld Wanderings or Crazy Hereditaries, you fucker. Now,
fucking hell.
Good. Just gets...
Ooh, chimpanzee that. Crazy Reddit things.
Exactly. Dun, dun. So I have to say, you know...
Oh, look, he's written it down!
I actually have written this down. So what I'll say is, I said this last week, I went on Reddit.
Strong
went
start.
On Reddit last week.
Very strong.
And on Reddit, you can like type in, you can go on the thread and then you type in your keyword that you want to search.
You can type stuff,
So I type in theory.
Solid start. Yeah, again.
Solid start. And last week there was only
building like, these foundations.
There was like three that popped up, right? And I was like, oh, and one of them was garbage. So I only read you out two last
week.
Yeah,
use all of them.
this week it's the same slim pickings. Slim pickings again.
Slim pickings.
Oh good. I don't know what to do, boys. So I'm just gonna read out the ones that I do have. They're not my favourites, but it's not my fault. I've been there. I literally scrolled through like 300 posts and it seems that people were just not as excited about crafting theories these days. But
who's got a better body, Maeve or Stubbs?
There are a lot of posts.
I mean, I will open it, but
I mean, I will click on that. So someone who does like crafting theories is u/knits98 because he's involved.
Classic.
Good. I've been waiting to hear from him. Actually, did you notice that through that in the episode, it turns out that Caleb is just a Reddit user.
Yeah, that's true.
u/312
So, sorry, what was the name of this person?
u/knits98 So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm scratching my head. So.
Hey.
Oh, very good. Okay, I need to compose myself now. Got a little bit silly, over here. This is the theory about the fourth control unit. And I think this is good to talk about. Because there is a fourth, it's really important. Yeah. There's a fourth control unit out there, guys. And
what?
This is what Nitz has been saying. Who is the fourth control unit that Dolores brought out of the park? Oh dear. We all got a good surprise when we found out the five host pearls Dolores. Sorry.
Nitz.
Oh God. This is classic Nitz 98.
Do you remember when Nitz was really good? Nitz 98. Oh man, so good. Nitz 2020 is just so poor.
Right, let me get a quip. Okay. Oh. We all got a good surprise when we found out the five host pearls Dolores smuggled out at the end of season two were copies of herself, plus the real Bernard that we knew about already. The episode since have revealed the new identities in which three of those copies were placed. We've got Shaloris, Conorus, and Satorus, which is what they're saying Mushashi is called. So who is the fourth copy posing as? Where is he/she? The show has been conspicuously silent so far. Here is my theory. The unrevealed fourth pearl isn't a copy at all. It is the real Dolores, the one we saw in seasons one and two. I'll call her OG Dolores. The Dolores Prime we've been seeing so far in season, running around in the Evan Rachel Wood skin, is in fact a copy. OG Dolores is probably wearing another printing of... Evan Rachel Wood skin wherever she's lurking, but we haven't seen her since season 2 episode 10. The one we've been watching so far in season 3 is that fourth pearl OG Dolores brought out of the park in season 2. And there's a lot of reasoning that he gives for it, the fact that that the real Dolores expected a version of herself to rebel, which is something that we've talked about and we saw with Charlotte Hale in this episode. And we see that in the episode 8 spoiler, we see Dolores Prime rebuilt by Caleb, seemingly captured by Serac. And we'll talk about that. She's in the next preview. She's in the old school robot metal body. It looks very cool. It's very Ex Machina, if you've seen that film by Alex Garland.
Good film.
A very good film. So there's a couple of things there. But I quite like this theory that the fact that the real Dolores isn't actually the one we've been following this season. This is just another copy of her. Shades of a show called Mr. Robot here, which I will not spoil, but there are shades of something going on here. So, yeah, I quite like this theory. What do you guys think?
Yeah, yeah, it's all right, that. An added layer of complexity to it, but yeah, that's fine. That's good. Well done, Nits 98.
Nits 98.
Classic Nits 98.
Nits
XP.
Yeah. The next one is posted by u/dipov777. So, classic.
Sorry, what's his name?
u/dipov777. Not Dickov, Gareth.
Dipov.
A theory about Serac and his brother. Hi, guys.
Why did he have to put 777?
He just
likes
all
the other Dipovs taken?
Probably, yeah. He wanted Dipov 776, but they just didn't have it.
Too late. Too late to Reddit for that.
Hi, guys. I was thinking about Serac and his brother, and since the show has many Bible references, and we have mentioned a few this season, I thought that their story was like Abel and Cain's. Serac, or Abel, put Cain to sleep. But since we know that Solomon was based on Serac's brother, he might have somehow, through the system, killed Serac in poetic justice. As I have seen elsewhere, I also believe Serac is dead and that Project Delos has worked in the end and he is a faithful copy. My addition to this is that his brother is the one who killed him. So this is talking about the fact that Serac isn't actually real. We've talked about him being an avatar of Rehoboam, but there is a lot of conjecture out there that he is actually a faithful, the first successful host recreation of someone that has died and had their data stored.
The point?
Well, this will, yeah, let's, okay, Gareth, that's the way of looking at it. But this is the theory that Serac's brother actually predicted that Serac was going to have him whatever rehabilitated or whatever, and it's still a bit murky that a little bit, and actually ended up killing him or is going to kill him in a predictive way, like he foresaw this is all part of his plan. So that's an interesting concept, right? That the brother in this situation might have, you know, programmed Solomon to do the things that it's doing, you know.
Yeah, so he lives on beyond his
death. He lives on, yeah, and it's all part of his plan, maybe. I quite like that. The last one is that something that we've talked about, and it's the fact that Serac actually planned Dolores' rebellion. All season long, Serac has seemed one step ahead of Dolores thanks to Rehoboam's predictive capabilities, buying Delos from under her despite her best efforts to thwart him, discovering Charlotte's true identity, etc. What if he's not just one step ahead of her, but several? Reddit user Mr. Trobot has said that he thinks Serac himself may have planned Dolores' rebellion in some capacity, perhaps as a test to strengthen Rehoboam. He previously mentioned to Maeve that he had been waiting for the host to arrive and has stated that he doesn't view hosts as a threat to his peace, but rather humanity. What if all of season 3 is a part of Serac's plan to save humanity from itself? Yep. I think we've talked about the security this episode being a bit weak and the fact that that seemed a bit suspect. It could be that it is all part of his plan. I would be amazed if we didn't get some reveal because he's, you know, he's come across a bit weak in the last few episodes. So it'd be amazing if it was all part of his plan, you know, and that would make a couple of the decisions in the last few episodes seem a bit more reasonable to me. Yeah?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, he is French, so it's just a wonder he hasn't given up yet.
Yeah, good point. Surrender at all costs. That's a joke, wow. Isn't it? Ouch.
It's a joke.
It's a joke.
John,
come
you're
on.
French.
No, you can't say
let's
that.
Let's be light-hearted. God, we're all light-hearted here.
Honestly, one bloob for Gaz. Yeah.
And that's it for theories this week. You know, there's not much out there, to be honest with you. It seems the community has stopped theory crafting. That there was massive last season. This season...
It's weird, that,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is weird. Maybe it's a sign...
Weird, isn't it? For such a hit show that everyone's loving. It's weird, isn't it?
Okay, let's move on to the remainder of our listener feedback to wrap up this week's show. First of all, Liz A has been in touch. Hello, Liz. Hey, Minutemen. Hope everything is going well. Just wanted to write in and say I agree with Toddy B and his remarks on last week's episode. I was also checking how much time of the episode was left. This season is totally dragging, and I feel like I'm not nearly as invested as the previous two seasons. I know this probably isn't a popular opinion, but I miss the park being the central location of the episodes. Without it, it feels like we're missing a main character. So I quite like the episodes that it shows with Maeve back in some sort of a park. Also, Dolores has this weird whisper voice going on that reminds me of Christian Bale as Batman, and it drives me fucking crazy. You know what? I thought to myself that this season, I was so happy that we were going to be out of the park. But it seems that the park might have actually been an integral part of the show that we were overlooking. You know, we were excited for it to escape the park. And I'm not saying that I know we criticised the fact that Maeve was in it this season in the Nazi world thing, but that's because it was a simulation. It's not really the park. There's no Ford. There's none of that stuff going on. So it's a difficult one. The show always had to escape the park. Always. But I do agree. It does feel like it's missing that. It has a big character, obviously. It does feel like it's missing it a bit.
I'm going to say, I think I put on record my concerns about this. Like, and I remember doing the same thing for Stranger Things as well. That's been unfounded thus far in Stranger Things. Amazing show, still an amazing show. But when shows try to expand beyond their original setting, it becomes really hard, just in terms of the scope of the show. And, you know, you've got this thing set within this world, this fantasy world, and it makes sense for the narrative that's taking place to take place in that world. Once you try and expand it out, and you just turn into these, you run into these much bigger problems. Like, okay, so we're expanding this story into a global story. Where does it end? And I think that's I think that's been a massive problem as well, to be honest. I also want to say everybody agrees with Toddy B, Liz, so we're with you there.
She also says for now she'll be going back and listening to the Watchmen podcast to remind herself of a time when HBO didn't let her down. So interesting. If you are going back, you know, just have a good time, because they were some fun pods, and these are fun in their own way. These are fun in their own way. I still think there's a decent amount of banter in these podcasts, considering that we're not loving.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Not after that beginning.
Sacked it off. and then email this week is from Toddy B, who's written in. He's given his pros, cons, and the usual.
I agree,
scoring.
Todd.
Well, you're going to disagree this week, Gareth. Pros. Love the fact that Caleb is not Teddy. So John's raging. I actually like the twist that he was an outlier and was sent out to look for others, allowing Rehoboam to control the world, because they use the robot reveal so much that the reveal felt fresh. So I agree with you on that. Very good. He likes the suitcase gun. So very good. Aaron Paul plays the sympathetic hero perfectly. He adds emotional weight and heart to scenes that he's in. Westworld is at its best, in my opinion, when the stories are personal and more focused on story rather than top action, like the Kitsuya episode from season 2, which is the greatest Westworld episode of all time. That's me saying that, not Toby, but I think he agrees. I think this episode did a far better job of moving the plot along than previous episodes. So there you go, Gareth, he disagrees with you, and he disagrees with John about Aaron Paul, so disagreements all around. Cons. While I enjoyed the episode, it pissed me off that this season has taken 7 episodes to find its true voice. Some of the scenes remain confusing and very convenient, but when the story is entertaining, I can look past that. The Dolores is helping humanity reveal, at least that's how I saw it. I could have missed something there. Seemed not true to her character. Gareth, confused like you, because it's revealed that she isn't helping humanity. If anything, she's being very sadistic and evil.
Again, adding to the speculation that Toddy B is actually me.
Yeah, agreed. All in all, he really enjoyed the episode. He's going to give it 4 blueberries. There's small things that he could nitpick, but he was entertained and was very thrilled that they didn't make Caleb Teddy. That alone gives it a full blueberry for me. So that's good. It's good, isn't it?
Mm.
Toddy,
can't wait for next week.
Toddy's on my...
I've heard some things.
Yeah, well, Toddy's on my vibe or wavelength this week. So, 4 blueberries. Have some of that.
Good. Mate. Five blueberries, if anything. Look, if people are enjoying it, good on them.
Yeah,
correct.
You know, fucking hell. I'm not one to, you know, I'm not annoyed that people are accepting of mediocrity. Good on you, man.
Well, mate, you're an Arsenal fan, so you've been doing that for years. Well.
Yeah, you've been doing that for years, mate.
That ain't make football references on here.
Yeah.
Well, mate, you've not won a league in about 30 years, so come back to me.
We're about to.
Well, anyway. No, you're not, because the league's going to be cancelled. Let's anyway. Not do that.
Anyway, that's it for feedback this week. Thank you to everyone who wrote in. We do accept all forms of criticism, and we will build upon them. You can write in at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. That is fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Please do write in with any concerns. We honestly appreciate all criticism because it would be stupid if everyone was going, oh yeah, you're brilliant, you're this, you're that. And yes, we do get a lot of those, but it's nice to...
Yeah, well, don't do that.
it's nice to get the occasional ones.
Just one of those
One will do, yeah, that'll be nice. Yeah. But yeah,
I sent one in last week.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, brilliant, your review on Thundercats was so funny. What, we've not done Thundercats? Sorry, wrong pod.
Yeah, so that's back to John in the studio.
Cheers, Len. That brings us to an end once again. And the exciting thing is, one more episode and we're done. And we're definitely not doing a season roundup, right? So don't be clamouring for that. Yeah. But look, you know, if you have enjoyed this episode, or if you haven't, you know, do feel free to send us your feedback and thoughts at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Send me your feedback on Twitter at fancriticalpod. Or Instagram at fan_critical. If you do want to donate some dollary dues, you obviously can, and that's patreon.com/fancritical. But other than that, we're done. So, you know, exciting times next week. It's all over. I pray to the gods that we end on a five bloob
episode. Could do. Never know.
I really do.
Never know. Could do.
You don't even sound convinced there. Yeah. Could do. Yeah, you never know.
No faith at all.
Yeah. But look, other than that, thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, mate.
No, cheers,
well wasted.
Yeah, good work. Yeah,
be safe.
Yeah.
Be safe.
Yeah, always.
And I'll see you next week.
Right. Bye, everybody.
See you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.